Hello, and welcome to Geek Speak on KDNK. Support for Geek Speak comes from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected, 948-7992. And Umbrella Roofing, providing roofing contractor services, gutter installation, and architectural sheet metal fabrication for the Roaring Fork and Eagle Valleys. Umbrella Roofing can be reached at umbrella-roofing.com and 704-9130. My name is Steve Skinner. I'm here with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, Steve.
And Matt McBrayer from the Roaring Fork Help Desk.
Hello, everyone.
We're taking your phone calls at 970-963-2976. 2.5 geeks ready to answer you. Tech support, comments, pontifications, whatever you can think of. We'd love to hear from you. 963-2976. Make that call. Don't be shy. Program's always better with you on it. 963-2976.
Last week's show just flew by.
It did.
Like, I don't even know what we talked about.
I know.
What did we talk about?
You guys
about?
Could not answer a single question that people called about. And we talked about all kinds of things. And we're getting a call now, so we don't have to remember.
Good.
Hi, you're on with the geeks.
Hi. I use a Google Drive. Someone shared a file for myself, and I'm trying to put it on my computer with my shared Google, and it's not allowing me to do that.
Is saying anything like access denied or insignificant or insufficient permissions or anything like that?
No, it doesn't say anything like that. I think it was shared properly, and normally you can tell it in your email, or I think you can right-click on something too and say to put it to my drive, my personal drive. And it does not allow me to do that for some reason.
And you're looking at the, let's say it's a photograph or a document, you right-click on it, and what happens?
Usually it says share.
Yeah, not happening though.
Put on drive? Well, it does, but it doesn't end up on the drive.
Okay, so if you go to drive.google.com and go on the left-hand side and go down to shared with me, does it show up in that list?
It does, but what happens is I can access it as long as I'm online, but I'm not able to put it onto my Google Drive, so that it will sync with what I have on my computer.
I'm really glad Matt's here.
I'm going to have to go on my Google Drive and look at this.
He's the big Google Drive guy around here.
So
Matt's, he's booting up.
I'm going to have to boot up on this one.
He's pulling out the alternate device.
Wow.
I've had other people share things with me, and it does work. But for some reason, with this particular file, it's a different person, and I'm doing it separately from what I normally do.
Okay. While I'm letting my computer boot up and I'm taking a look at my Google Drive, can you go into drive.google.com, go to the left-hand side where it says shared with me, click on the file, and then see if you can make a copy of it in your drive or something like that?
I've tried doing that, and I've tried downloading it to my computer, but that's really not going to work because as I work in it, it needs to sync automatically with what's on Drive.
Okay, so is it a Google Sheet or is it a Google Doc or is it a file?
It's a file with subfolders.
So it's a folder with subfile with files in it.
Correct.
Okay. Well, the first thing I would do is either check the permissions on that folder, or have the person that shared it with you check the permissions on the folder and make sure that you have something akin to read-write access.
Okay.
Just because it sounds like it's probably a permissions issue. You might have permission to view the folder. You might not have permission to edit the folder. I think they do view and edit instead of read and write.
Okay, I know I'm able to put things into that folder. What I have to do is I do things on my computer. I upload it to my Google Drive, and then once I have access and have time, then I transfer, because I put everything into it like a hold folder, a transfer folder, and then I can transfer it on Google Drive online into that shared folder. But that's the only way that I can do it.
So you're not using the Google Drive app for your computer?
I'm using both. I'm trying to get it so that it will show up on my computer.
Okay, so you're just using it as a synchronization tool.
I'm trying to.
Okay.
As it is right now, I am putting it into my drive. And then once I, like I said, get online, then I can go ahead and transfer it into the other folder. But for some reason, that folder that's shared, I can't get it to go directly onto my drive and sync with my computer.
All right, I'm going to have to set up a test with a couple of my Google accounts and see what happens here. So
okay.
We'll have to talk about that a little later.
Maybe you could send Matt an email, and he can respond and let you know what he found out. What's your email, Matt?
Just go to my ticket system at rfhelpdesk.net, create a new ticket, fill in your contact information, and it'll send me an email with your information and put assign a ticket number to it.
Okay, so RF, like Frank?
Yeah, so Roaring Fork Help Desk, just the initials, so rfhd.net.
HD and not spelled out, okay.
Yes, so it's just the initials, Roaring Fork Help Desk, rfhd.net.
Okay.
Click on the new ticket button and fill in your information, and I will get an email.
We'll get to the bottom of this.
There you go. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks a lot for calling. That was a very interesting call. Sometimes those things just don't work. I bet you it is a permissions issue, though. It sounds like.
I would definitely, yeah, I definitely have the origin, on the point of origin, double-check the permissions on that.
You're listening to Geek Speak. Our phone number 970-963-2976. Play Stump the Geek and call us right now.
So how about that internet outage for Friday?
Yeah, how did that affect you, Steve?
I didn't even know what happened.
It's all good.
What happened? So,
well, let's see.
Must have been late in the day because I was interneting most of the day.
So and it was spotty in kind of the areas.
It wasn't so bad here.
Yeah.
In other words, the servers that were affected were mainly on the east and west coast, and so my understanding is that so are you familiar with the term Internet of Things?
No.
They're talking about how there's so many new devices that are internet connected. Like so, for instance. I was looking at appliances the other day. They actually have a refrigerator that you can connect to the internet.
Really?
So if you're at the grocery store and you like need to find out if, you know, how much, you know, carrots you've got, you can like activate the internal camera in your refrigerator.
They show you the carrots with the fungus
look
on them.
And see what how the state of things is inside your refrigerator. So, but anyway, so there are a number of devices that use a system. There's a system called Dyn, and it stands for, short for Dynamic DNS. And what it does is it allows you to, you know, say you put a new web camera in your house, for instance. You can using Dyn DNS, you can configure your router and then assign a host name, kind of like bobswebcam.dyn.org could be the address for it.
Yeah.
And so you can just open up a web browser, put in bobswebcam.dyn.org, and there's your webcam comes up on the screen.
And even if you're, you know, let's say your router's, you know, you've been away for a couple of weeks and there's been a power outage and your router is rebooted, and once it came back up, the ISP, your service internet service provider, has assigned a new public IP address to your router because it was down for more than the lease period and your address got assigned to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
A device on your network will contact Dyn and say, hey, this is the new address. Mm-hmm. And then, yep. Then Bob's webcam works again.
Yeah. So it's pretty much bulletproof. And, so anyway, the, Dyn DNS system is what got taken down. And what they did was there's some malware, right? A malware component that basically breaks into dumb internet appliances like video recorders, webcams, things like that, and refrigerators, and basically created a botnet or a bunch of
a swarm of computers that are
internet zombies
that can be instructed to do evildoers' biddings,
and they flooded the Dyn system with a crap ton of traffic.
Really?
I guess would be a good way to put it. And
I think it was in the 600 gigabits per second range.
Yeah.
What I heard.
Yeah. That's some chatter. And so, let's see, the...
Who did it? The Russians?
Who did do it?
A 13-year-old named Steve.
No way.
I don't know. I have no idea.
How did you know I stopped maturing at 13?
That's how every guy is.
Yeah, that's
the,
true.
The large internet companies that were affected are Twitter, GitHub, Etsy. I do know Netflix was one of them. Reddit was affected.
Yeah.
So
why? They're not you know, dumb. They don't have dumb. How did something that it jams up dumb appliances screw up Reddit or Twitter?
Because they use Dyn DNS to do their DNS hosting.
Oh, well, that makes sense then.
So you have hundreds of thousands or more devices all making, you know, silly requests to a server, and the server goes, I'm done. I
so
don't
the legitimate requests, the legitimate requests can't get through. So you got to kind of look at Twitter, Netflix, Reddit. Those types of people are more the victims.
Oh, emergency.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So those internet providers or internet content providers were pretty much the victims of the attack, and Dyn DNS was the vehicle. And we got a phone call.
We do. Hi, you're on with the Geeks.
Hey, Geeks. Captain X-Man.
Whoa. How are you doing? Hi there, Captain.
Been a little while.
Way too long. I miss you horribly.
I miss you horribly, too.
Good.
This whole recent hack of the Internet of Things has been very interesting. And it's... I think we're depending, going to be depending so much on all this when it's just so hackable. I don't get it.
Well, I think that you are the person to come up with the first conspiracy theory on this, and I've been kind of wondering about the systems for the nuclear codes and things, because I guess those nuclear weapons are all on very ancient technology. Is it easier to hack the old stuff, or is it easier to hack the new stuff, Matt?
You know, here's an analogy. Back in the probably 80s, we captured a Russian MiG jet fighter, and all of our technicians were laughing. This is when the guy defected. He landed in Japan, and we were laughing at the MiG, at Fire Fox Bat, I think they were called, whatever, because it had tubes in their system, you know, old-fashioned tubes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we realize, in a war, if there's a nuclear explosion, the EMs won't affect tubes. So these planes could still continue to function. And I thought that was very interesting, using the older technology to bypass the new threat.
I've got some good news for you and some bad news for you. First, the good news. We've been nuked. The bad news is the Russian planes can still bomb us.
Because they have tubes.
Because of their tubes. Oh, that's too good. That's too good. But yeah, I was just reading about the nuclear systems, and they're still on like floppy disks and things.
Floppy, yeah. Right. I know floppies. Yeah, I know. Anyway,
those are air gap systems.
I'm using a Mac Mini, and I've had it 750 gig memory, and so I've got plenty of room. But I've had it for 2, 3, 4 years, whatever it is. And I'm just noticing a little slowdown. You know, where's the first place to go? Like, an example, if I've been in sleep and I take it out of sleep, it used to just pop instantly and I could use it. Now it wants, 20 seconds or so before it wants to do anything coming out of sleep.
What version of the operating system are you on there, X?
I'm on Lion.
Oh, there's the problem.
Surely you're lying to me.
You can't hide your lion eyes. Well, have you repaired permissions?
No.
Okay.
No, don't bother with that. That doesn't work.
That's not true.
Oh, okay, sorry. I'm just kidding.
I would definitely do that first. You'll probably glean a fairly good amount of performance back just by doing
that.
You
think so, huh?
Yeah,
right,
definitely do.
Okay.
Should everybody that has a Mac repair permissions on occasion?
Well, anything after, what is it, Yosemite? The operating system took that job over.
Oh, okay.
So you can't even, no matter how hard you look after Yosemite, you can't find a place to do that. But back on Lion, which, I mean, is the owner's manual for that written in Sanskrit or something?
It might be pre-Sanskrit. I'm not sure.
Okay, got it. Anyway, yeah, definitely do that. And then, let's see, do you know if your machine has a recovery partition on it or not?
No, I couldn't answer that
okay.
question.
Okay, so you might jot these instructions down. Shut it down, press the power button, and immediately push down the control key. Or, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The control? Yeah.
Command? Hold
down. No, it's, I'm sorry, option. Press down option. And,
option.
And hold it.
Yes.
And you should get a couple of different couple icons on there. One will say Macintosh HD, and the other one will say Recovery Partition. And you go ahead and click on Recovery Partition, and then click the little arrow underneath it. It'll boot up into this like really stripped down plain Jane version of the operating system. And go into the disk utility and run the check. You know, check the disk for errors from there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Now,
go
ahead.
The power button, and what was the other one?
Well, you press the power button to turn it on, and then immediately jump on the option key and hold it.
Option, gotcha.
Yeah, on right, the keyboard. Okay. Yeah.
Now, those Mac Minis, they're pretty small, right?
Yes, they're teeny.
Are you near a restroom?
Hey.
I have one, too, Captain X. I have one, too.
In my defense, I live by, if you're happy with it, don't update. So far, I haven't had a need.
Yeah. Well, I know that you are running some specialized software, and you'll definitely want to make sure before, you know, we go crazy updating that thing that it can, you know, that your Pro Tools will run on a newer version of the operating system. So we'll definitely talk about that tomorrow or Wednesday night. So
that's right.
Cool.
All right.
All right, gentlemen.
Okay.
Well, thank you for thanks for calling, Captain X. Good to hear your voice again.
Good to hear you guys.
All right.
As always, you give a good answer.
All right, thanks. Back into the quiet room with you now. All right, 970-963-2976, the number to call the technical wizards here at GeekSpeak.
So I found a folder that was shared with me, and I know I have full permission, so you'll still have to check that for our previous caller.
Yeah.
But what you'll want to do is right-click on the folder that you want to add to that's shared with you and click Add to Drive.
Oh, okay.
And so then it'll put it in your drive, and then my computer just downloaded that.
Sounded like she tried that, though.
So there may be a permissions
thing. Hi, you're on with the Geeks.
Hey, Geeks, it's Donna. How are you doing?
Hello, Donna Rue.
Hey, just one comment. You know, I have seen, and I don't know if everybody thinks of this, but you can use your camera on your phone to act as a mirror.
Really? How unsettling is that?
Just thought I'd mention that. I've seen people do that before.
How does that work? Not,
you know, you turn your camera around, you know, on your phone.
That's right.
So it's facing you.
And then you can record it and put it on YouTube.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm looking in the mirror right now. I'm not really happy with what I'm seeing.
Does that work for an iPad, too?
Hold it up higher.
It should.
Yes, it does. Anyway, do you guys have any, app suggestions? Any good apps lately that you've been using?
Well, I did update the operating system on my iPhone, and it's got some pretty groovy things that it can do now.
You know, one of the biggest... Do you still have an iPhone, Donna?
I do. I have iPhone 6.
One of the biggest gripes that I've gotten about the new iOS is... how easy it is to accidentally send a text message, because the send button is now right in the compose field,
right?
And so everybody out there, be really careful, you know, not to graze that, because especially if you're planning on doing some editing, especially if you're texting when angry, it might be good, you know, because your pre-edits will get out.
Yeah.
And it could cause problems.
Well, the review from my daughter, Riley, she says, the new iPhone update is amazing. You can send drawings right inside your message thing and kisses.
Turn it sideways.
And kisses. So it's pretty cool. She sent me a really cool drawing of her dog.
Well, great. Yeah, if you turn it sideways, it seems like it always comes up with the drawing app.
Oh, wow, that's what that is.
Yeah.
So, Donna, do you use Gmail at all?
Yes.
Have you tried the Inbox app for iOS?
No.
I've been kind of playing around with it, and I don't know. I'm kind of thinking it's maybe a little bit flowery for me, but
I use it very heavily.
The Inbox app?
I use Inbox. So if you go to inbox.google.com, if you have a Gmail account, or they just recently made it available for Google Apps people.
It's like the webmail version of it then?
There's a webmail version of it, and there's an app on your phone. And so it's a simplified mail, and basically you just say, I'm done with that, and you swipe it to the right, and you can say, if you swipe it to the left, you can tell it to remind you in the morning or in a week or at some point in the future for that particular email. And so then it organizes it into, you know, things you haven't dealt with, things that you're scheduled to deal with, and then things you've already dealt with.
Hmm.
And so
I'm going to have to explore that.
I've found it very useful as opposed to...
Just as another plug, remember, what's his name, Merlin Mann? Remember his Inbox Zero video? Haven't seen that in a while. I should watch that.
Oh, yeah, that's a...
That's where you keep your inbox empty?
Yep.
Yeah, it's a good video, but...
And Inbox really does help that.
It's like going straight edge for geeks.
Well, wow. I just downloaded it, so I'll let you know how I like it next week.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, guys. I'll let you go.
Thanks for calling there, Donna.
Hey, thanks for calling, Donnaroo. That's Donna Dalton calling from San Diego, California. That was lovely to hear her voice. Still taking your phone calls. We got time for maybe one more. 970-963-2976. A little geek music for you coming on in the background here.
You know they had to record that one note at a time, right?
Of course.
It's a monophonic synthesizer.
That's right. It's all one note at a time.
It's like a 16-track tape machine just getting overworked there. Yeehaw.
Just waiting for your call there, folks. 970-963-2976. I can't help but get an accent going when I hear that. Hi, you're on with the Geeks.
Hey there. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
I am not computer savvy, but I just got one of these Nexus Project Fi phones, the Google phones.
Yeah.
And what I keep noticing is that when you take pictures, you send them to an email, and they come in as a very small file, and it takes great pictures, but how do I get them in a larger file? Do you have any idea? Can you transfer from this phone to a computer where you actually transfer a larger file? Because I think it's taking them as a larger file, but then when you transfer them to an email, they come in as a thumbnail type.
That's a great question.
So are you going into the gallery and then selecting the photo you'd like to share, and then clicking on the
email,
clicking on the little share button? It's like two little dots and a little right triangle thing point, and then you click on that, and
you can share it to your email or whatever. But then I need sometimes take a picture that I really want to use in an advertisement, or, you know, I need something 300 DPI or somewhere around there. And so I've got this great picture, but I can't do anything with it off the phone.
Well, you can, and you have it synced to one of your Google accounts?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you can either share it with your drive, which would put it in a folder on your drive, so then you could log into a computer and grab it and do whatever you need to do with it. Or you could use, I think they call it Picasa Web Albums, and it's another Google tool where you can upload it to Web Albums and manipulate it there.
Okay.
Yep.
But that would allow me to get it to somewhere that I could actually manipulate it in a larger file format.
Yep. It's funny because when I do the same thing on my iPhone, it asks me if I want to do it small, medium, or large. Which is really nice.
Well, I was kind of looking for, the phone's new to me, but I was looking in settings and all, trying to figure out how to do that. So you can share it, you can save it to your drive, basically.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to go. Yeah. Sort of nice and clean.
Okay. That sounds
great. Hey, thanks
great.
For calling,
Thank
Jim.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Right. Good luck.
Take care. See you,
all right.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Geek Speak here on KDNK, underwritten by Louie the Computer Guy and Umbrella Roofing. My name's Steve Skinner, here with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, thanks, everyone.
And Matt McBrayer from Cursed from Running Fork Help Desk. Sorry.
Have a great evening,
I was distracted
everyone.
By the music.
Flashbacks.